Welcome to One to Another with Dr. Pete Pavelic on today's edition of One to Another.
God works through us. We're His hands and His feet. And if we neglect to take care of the vessel that the Lord has given us to accomplish His work and His mission, it won't be long before we're not able to do what He's called us to do. It's a very vulnerable area of our lives, our physical bodies. And I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but you've only got one. And it's wonderfully designed. It's an amazing machine, but it's not going to last forever. But we also shouldn't be destroying it quicker than we should, right?
Do you realize that you only have one body? Take good care of it. Pastor Pete urges you in today's message to understand that your body is a living temple unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit resides inside of you when you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Therefore, keep it healthy. Pastor Pete challenges you to reflect upon your exercise, diet, and spiritual patterns. Are those patterns conducive to a healthy temple, fit for serving the Lord? If not, what are some of the things you can do to make it so? If you'd like to connect with Pastor Pete or help support this program, go to onetoanotherradio.org. Now let's join Pastor Pete in the book of Proverbs chapter 27 as he continues part two of his message, The Prudent Path.
We all have people we don't get along with for one reason or another, or we've gotten cross with for one reason or another. But you know what? I still have a relationship with them. May not be a good one, but it's a relationship, and I've got to do my part to protect it. I love what Paul says in Romans 12, 17, and 18. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. He says, give careful thought. Consider your path. Consider what you're doing. Give careful thought to do what is honorable in everyone's eyes. And then he says this in verse 18, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. In other words, you do your part to make the relationship as best it can be. Give careful thought. Give careful attention. Intentionality. Watch your steps when it comes to your relationship. Pay attention. Protect this area of your life. Do what the prudent person does. Because if you don't seek the prudent path with your relationships, guess what path you're going to walk? The painful path. That's right. Now, some of you might want to put this at the top of your list. I get it. It's a strong temptation. But I would encourage you not to. Because when you really think about it, if you start putting people above God, that creates a lot of problems in your life, doesn't it? And we know it does because we see it all the time. I know, you know, we want to say God's my number one priority. I'm trying to please God. I'm protecting that. I'm doing what God wants me to do. We say that a lot with our mouths, but then our actions tend to say people are more important to God than to me than God really is. Many people put people above God. You can say God's first in your life all day long, but if your actions don't prove it, I mean, it's not hard to see that He's not. Let me give you an example of why this is dangerous, why it's dangerous to put people above God. And this is just one example. Again, we could give many. We just don't have time. But I promise you this, if you start putting people above God, there's going to come a point or a time in your life when you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to make a choice to do something to someone you don't like, so that you can help someone or bless someone that you do like. And that may not be what God wants you to do. But because you put people above God, you're going to do what helps you, what makes you look good, what helps somebody that can help you, or what will bless somebody that can bless you, rather than doing what God has called you to do. And that's just one of 1,000, 10,000, 1,000,000 different traps we can fall into if we make people the priority above God. Even our children. Even our spouses. If we prioritize them over God, it affects how we see things, how we make decisions. It affects everything, which is why I say God has to be at the top. The result of getting your priorities out of line, the result of even just swapping two like this, can really produce a lot of problems in your life, which is why our spiritual life must always be at the top. But there's no doubt about it, God created you and I to live in relationship, didn't He? Two primary relationships God created you for. First, a relationship with Him. which again is why he should be at the top of the list. He created Adam in the garden to have a relationship with him. God created man to live in relationship with him. Now we know that all got torn apart, all went out the window when sin happened, invaded our world. We're still suffering because of that today. But if you go back to the beginning, you'll see God created Adam to live in relationship with him. And then God quickly saw that it wasn't good for the man to be alone. Do you remember Genesis chapter 2, verse 18? It says, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him.'" And then here comes Eve. The first relationship between humans is formed. But that relationship is a fragile thing, isn't it? In fact, you don't have to go far in the scripture to find Adam and Eve pointing fingers at each other, blaming each other, arguing with each other. You don't have to go far to find them ashamed and covering each other, themselves, so the other can't see. You don't have to go far to find, you know, relationships breaking down in scripture. Again, we could give many examples, but we just don't have time. You see, the bottom line is a prudent person is going to invest and protect their relationship with God first and their relationship with others second. Because that's what God created us to live in, relationship. John 15:12 says, "This is my command." This is Jesus. Notice he doesn't say, "This is my suggestion." He doesn't say, "This is my good idea." Church, when Jesus says, "This is my command," it's probably something we ought to pay attention to. He says, "This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. Protect your relationships." There are many more verses in the Bible about loving one another and protecting our relationships. We don't have time for them today. But can I just say this? I really, really believe the world could use a whole lot more of people loving one another. How different would our world and our churches be if we just did a whole lot more of this? See, prudent people walk a path of building strong, godly relationships, both inside and outside of their families and their homes. And church, if you don't protect this, it leads to pain. So seek the prudent path or you will walk a painful path. Next, third thing on my list is my physical life. To me, this is less important than my relationship with God or my relationship with other people, but it is important and it matters. And I'm going to be honest with you guys today. If I'm honest, this is an area of my life I've really got to work on. Out of everything I'm going to talk to you about today, this is the one I struggle with the most. There have been seasons in my life when I have done really, really good at this. And then there have been a lot of long seasons in my life when I haven't. And I'm in one of those seasons right now where I'm not doing a good job here and I need to do better. I'm not protecting this area of my life. Now, I don't drink alcohol. I don't smoke cigarettes. I don't do drugs. You know, those are some good things. Helps protect your health. Abby cooks pretty healthy. I'm blessed in that. My wife is a great cook and she's a very healthy person. This is a thing on our list, but really it's a thing on her list. She thinks about it all the time. Like when we go out to eat, y'all, I'm telling you, if Abby gets a Coke, we're all like, what? Like maybe once or twice a year she has a soda. Like, I mean, it's crazy. She cooks really healthy. You know, we garden, we do stuff. But that's mostly because she's doing it. I like vegetables. I don't mind eating them. You know, I don't despise them. But these are like baseline stuff, right? It's just stuff that everybody should do. But the reality is I consume way too much sugar, way too much. I have a bad, bad sweet tooth. Like, I mean, donuts, cheesecake, soda water, anything with sugar in it, I want it. I don't exercise nearly enough. I know, it's a surprise to y'all. Y'all are looking at me. Like, what, you? My goodness. I thought you were at the gym every day, Pete. But I'm just confessing here, I don't. There have been seasons in my life when I've done good here, but I'm just not in that season right now. I've been doing really bad. I work way too much. I carry way too much stress, more stress than is healthy to carry, for sure. And I know it. But all that just means is I'm not protecting this area of my life right now very good at all. I know I should, but I don't do it. And I'm looking at y'all, and I can tell y'all aren't either. So all y'all who are laughing at me, go home and look in the mirror. 80% of y'all in the same boat I'm in, if not 90, right? But I often, and maybe you feel this way at this part of your life, I often feel like the Apostle Paul. He said in Romans 7:15, "For I do not understand what I'm doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law." He's talking about spiritual stuff here, not eating right or physical, but that's what I struggle with, right? Like, I know what I need to do, but I can't. Like, isn't it ironic? And I was thinking about this just the other day. It's like, I'm finally at a point in my life when I can afford good food. And now the doctor tells me I can't eat any of it. You know, like, I don't have to eat ramen anymore. We don't have to have spaghetti four times a week. And now the doctor's like, "Oh, you can't eat none of that stuff." But isn't that how life goes? But if I don't protect it, what's going to happen? If you don't walk the prudent path, what path do you walk? Painful path. That's right. That's the same with your physical life. It's the same with my physical life. I don't think any of us are going to live forever, but I do think our physical bodies are important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul talks about our bodies being the temple of God, and he's right. God lives inside of us through the Holy Spirit. God works through us. We're his hands and his feet. And if we neglect to take care of the vessel that the Lord has given us to accomplish his work and his mission, it won't be long before we're not able to do what he's called us to do. It's a very vulnerable area of our lives, our physical bodies. And I don't know if y'all have noticed or not, but you've only got one. And it's wonderfully designed. It's an amazing machine, but it's not going to last forever. But we also shouldn't be destroying it quicker than we should, right? I read a really good health book a number of years ago when I was in one of those good seasons in my life and I was doing good here. It's a book called How Not to Die by a guy by the name of Michael Greger. Funny title. And when I saw the title, I thought, well, yeah, but everybody dies, Michael. And he addresses that at one point in his book. And he says something like this. This isn't an exact quote. But he said in his book, he says, "I know I'm going to die one day. I just don't want it to be my fault." And I thought, you know what? That's right. And what he goes on to say in his book is most people are just killing themselves slowly because of the way they eat, the fact that they don't exercise, the fact that they don't make their physical bodies a priority. And he lays out all the statistics in his book beautifully, and he talks about how many people die that really don't have to, at least not as early as they do. Everybody dies. See, the prudent protect their bodies and their physical well-being. Seek the prudent path or you'll walk a painful path. Here's the final one for me, for today, for you. That's the last one I'm going to share. It's financial. Financial. Listen, I know everyone approaches finances and money differently. I also know that money is not the most important thing in the world or the most important thing in life. That's why it's down the list here. And it may be higher. You know, number four may have it way higher than you would put it on your list. I don't know. But for me, this ties together with all the other things that I've just talked about. And it's an extension of what God, I believe, wants to do with my life. And so it has to be up here in number four, in my opinion, for me. So obviously for me, my spiritual walk is first. My relationships are second. My physical health needs to be third, although it hasn't been lately. And financially, I need to be protecting that number four, if I'm putting them in order. Can I just say, when it comes to money, your motives matter. And you need to have the right motives wherever you put finances on your list. And Abby and I, we discuss this. We talk about it all the time. How much is too much? How much is enough? What can we do to further God's kingdom with this? See, I don't want to have money. Abby doesn't want to have money, so I can have a nice truck, obviously, right? Y'all seen what I drive. That old 05, I talk about it all the time, almost 350,000 miles on it. Like, I'm not a truck guy. I don't have to have a new truck to feel important or to feel like I'm somebody. I just don't. It's not a big thing to me. I don't want to have money so I can drive nice vehicles. I don't want to have money so I can have a beach house. I don't have a beach house or a river house. I don't think I ever will unless one of y'all want to give me one. I'm just probably never going to spend money on that. Like, it's just not a thing for me. I'll rent one when I want to go there, but I'm not going to own one. I don't want to put this as number four and protect it because I want to be a millionaire so I can say, "Woo, I'm a millionaire." Those aren't my motives when it comes to finances or money. My motive is that I want to be the best possible steward of God's resources that I can be. That's my motive. That's why this is number four. Because I know that the Bible calls me to be a steward. I know that every good gift is from God. I know that every blessing in my life is from Him. And I want to steward every part of that as well as I can. And I know if I don't protect that, the devil will come in and he will hijack it. He will sabotage it, and I'll waste stuff that God wanted me to use for His glory. So I know this is an area I can't just let go. I know it's an area I can't just not think about, because the devil wants to get into this area and derail it because it touches everything. I know it's a sensitive and vulnerable area, so I know I need to protect it. The Bible talks a lot about money. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." I've been the borrower, and I've been the slave. They're one and the same. I've been a slave to the lender. I don't ever want to do that again. Like I've told you guys many, many, many years ago, Abby and I decided we were getting out of debt. We did the Dave Ramsey thing. We got out of debt. It didn't happen overnight. It didn't take us a couple months. It took us years. We had a lot of debt, but we did it. And you know what? We have never once regretted that decision. We sacrificed and we saved and we scraped and we budgeted and we worked. And we have never once regretted all of that. Not once have we been sitting on the back porch, sipping our tea, watching the sun go down and go, you know what I really miss? Those credit card bills. Golly. Whoo. Yeah, but I miss those student loans even more. Wish we got that letter every month, you know. We've never, ever regretted that decision to work hard to get out of debt. Because we've seen the blessings that have come from getting control of this area of our life. Protecting this area also means that we do things like practicing generosity, right? It's not just about getting rid of your debt. It's not just about having money in the bank. You also need to be generous with what you've got. 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. The point is this: the person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a cheerful giver. I have never yet once in my life outgiven the Lord. He commands me to bring a tithe, a full tenth, into His kingdom through His storehouse, which is, in our context, the church. Abby and I have cheerfully chosen to exceed the command for 10% of our income for our entire marriage. We chose on day one, I won't tell y'all what we give now, but day one of our marriage, we said, you know what? If God said 10%, let's test Him and do 11. And even while we were trying to get out of debt, we kept increasing our generosity as we could. And we've continually increased that throughout our marriage, because we believe there's nothing better we can invest in than the kingdom of God. I don't think it's wrong to invest in the stock market, but man, I want to invest in the kingdom of God. People come to us sometimes and ask for donations for things and whatnot. And you know, they're good things. I'm not saying they're bad things at all, but we're investing in the kingdom of God. I'm not saying you shouldn't invest in other stuff if God tells you to. I'm not saying we haven't or we won't. I'm just saying, like, we prioritize this and we look at it and we go, you know what? We're putting what we have into the kingdom of God, because that's what's going to last. I really do believe we as a couple have walked a prudent path in regard to generosity and wealth. And church, I'm just telling you, we found this path to be overflowing with God's blessings. It hadn't always been easy, but it's been so good. And those who are on the prudent path with their finances also, and I'm going to close this point with this, they learn to be content. The path here is paved with contentment. I love what Paul tells Timothy. It's a good perspective. 1 Timothy 6:7-8. "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out." He says, "If we have food and clothing, we will be content with these." Those are prudent words from a prudent man. And they apply to you and I no matter how much you have or don't have. Here's the perspective. If you have $100, $100 in the bank right now, you can find contentment in the Lord. And you can be blessed right there where you're at. The opposite of that, or the other side of that, is this. You can have $100 million in the bank right now. And if you're not content, you'll be miserable and poor your whole life. Because the path here is paved with contentment. The path of prudence when it comes to finances is paved with contentment. So let me encourage you to protect this area. Be content where you're at. Strive to do better. Strive to give more. Strive to get a hold of your finances better. Strive to get your spending under control. I mean, I'm not saying those are bad things, but really and truly at the heart of it, you've got to learn to be content with where you're at and with what the Lord has given you, and then say, as a steward, how do I do what is best with this? And I'm telling you, just like all these others, if you don't seek the prudent path with your finances, because this is such a sensitive and vulnerable area of life, you will walk a painful path, won't you? Many of us have walked that one. I know I have. Remember what our text said? The prudent sees danger and hides himself, covers it, protects it. But the simple, they go on and suffer for it. As we close today, I want to encourage you one more time, go home and think about this. Don't let it go in one ear and out the other. Go home and have some conversations with your spouse. Hey, what is it we need to protect? Let's make a list. Let's work on this. Let's brainstorm it. Let's come back to it again on Tuesday or Wednesday. Let's really make a game plan here and say, these are the things we're going to protect. Make your list of 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 things. Again, not 20. You won't be able to protect them all. But find those things that are most important, put them on a list, and be a prudent person in regards to them. I don't want to close without saying this. None of these things are possible, and none of these things even matter without Jesus being the Lord of your life. Your spiritual life should be at the top of the list. Again, I want to say that because anything you're going to protect on this planet or even in eternity is going to be linked to that. It affects everything. Not just here on earth, but also for eternity. So don't neglect Jesus. Don't turn away from him. Don't continue to carry your sin. He's offered you forgiveness. He offers to wash you clean, to make you new, to forgive you of your sins if you will believe and confess. And I pray that if you've never done that, that you will do the prudent thing, which is to call on him. Make him the Lord of your life. Because no matter how hard you try, nothing else is going to fall into place until you get that piece right.
Following the path that God has laid out for you is not always the easiest thing to do. You may feel like you're on your own path, and you like that one better. Maybe it looks better to you than the one that God's directing you toward. What does this all mean? Here on One to Another, Pastor Pete Pavelic is helping you see the value in the path God's leading you on. It sure can have its moments of twists and turns, but he's right there beside you, and he won't let you go. Trust that God's got this. As you've been listening today, we trust that what you're hearing is landing on a soft heart, willing and receptive to hearing God's plan and his will. If this message has been a great encouragement to you, we invite you to listen to even more great teachings from Dr. Pete. You can easily find these teachings at onetoanotherradio.org. While you're there, we'd love for you to be in the know of what's going on in our ministry, as well as upcoming events that Pastor Pete will be speaking at. So go to onetoanotherradio.org to learn more. Before our time ends for today, Gwen has something else to mention about the radio ministry of One to Another. Tell us all about it, Gwen.
Sure thing, Phil. Did you know that One to Another Radio is listener supported? We're so happy to be on the air and for new listeners to be tuning in each and every day. But something we'd like you to be aware of is that it's listeners like you who keep us going in the ministry. That's right. We have people listening in from all over the country. And once they hear about our ministry, they many times feel led to send a donation gift, which helps cover the funding for radio. Would you be interested in coming alongside us and partnering with us in this way? We would be so blessed by that. All you have to do is send a donation to onetoanotherradio.org. And guess what? If you're new to donating to our ministry this month, we're going to send you a gift of the month. How awesome is that? We can't wait to multiply the blessings that come our way by giving back to our listeners. So once again, head over to onetoanotherradio.org to donate and to learn more about Pastor Pete and the ministry going on here. Thanks for listening, and here's Phil again.
Gwen, we're glad you shared that information. In case any of our listeners missed that website, it's onetoanotherradio.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. Pastor Pete will be back with another solid teaching from God's Word next time on One to Another.